Hi everyone, my name is Craig Boerter and I'm preaching to you this morning from a cold Pietermaritzburg, Grace Generation Church, as we draw near to the end of our Exodus series, which has been really amazing. And so this morning we're going to be in Exodus 33 and we're going to be looking at the title of Experiencing the Presence of God. Experiencing the presence of God. And I'm really excited to be able to bring this word to you today. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray this morning as we gather around your word, you would speak to us, you would anoint your word for your glory, we pray, that we would know more of your presence amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, as we draw to near the end of Exodus, here in chapter 33, I'm just going to read quickly through this chapter. It is fairly long, but I'll go pretty quick, so that we can pick up the story, the narrative, as Moses has dealings with God. So Exodus 33, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Hittites, Amorites, and the rest of them. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people.' And when the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a moment I should go with you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do with you.' And therefore the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And whenever Moses went to the tent, the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and would stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. And thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you have said to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?' And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.' And Moses said, 'Please show me your glory.' And he said, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy.' But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand. And while my glory passes by, and then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face you shall not see.'" And so we're looking this morning at how we can experience the presence of God from this chapter. And it's really an amazing chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, God begins, he's angry with the Israelites because of their idolatry, and he doesn't want to go with them on the journey to the promised land. And yet through Moses' engagement with the Lord, and as he seeks God in the situation, the Lord not only promises to go with them, but at the end of the chapter, he reveals his glory to Moses as well. And so we see here, friends, God's deep desire to dwell amongst his people, which is one of the great themes of Exodus that we've been looking at. But we also see the greatness of Moses' leadership as a type of Christ, as he mediates between God and the people, and he averts the wrath of God, just as Jesus did. And he talks with God as a friend, and he gets to know the ways of God. And so Moses really was desirous to know the presence of God above everything else. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, then please don't move us on from here. Moses wouldn't settle for anything less. God had promised to lead them to the promised land. They had vision. They had guidance. He promised to send an angel with them. They had supernatural intervention. He'd given them his laws and commands already at Mount Sinai. And also they had great leadership with Moses himself, accompanying the people. And many people would have settled for that. They would have said, well, let's make one of those things our priority, whether it's leadership or vision or guidance or the supernatural. And we find churches today and believers today can settle for those things. But Moses wouldn't do that. Moses wanted and longed for the presence of God above everything else. And we should be the same. The Christian life is really a matter of knowing and experiencing God. And so this was the reality, friends, that made Israel unique amongst the nations, that God's presence was with them. There was the cloud, the pillar of cloud in the daytime and the pillar of fire at night. And that made them unique. God was with them. His presence, literally his face, was with them. They knew his presence. And it's also the main thing that marks us as Christians, is that we, as believers in Jesus, in his death and in his resurrection, God's presence dwells within us as well. It says in Romans, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he doesn't belong to God. And so we love God's Word, but we're not just people of the Word, but we're also people of the Spirit, as we've said so many times, and we're people that love the presence of God. We don't just want a knowledge of God. We want to experience God. We want to know Him. That's my desire as well. And you find the more you get to know the Lord, the more you want to know Him as well. And so His presence is so vital in our lives. And we need to seek Him for His presence amongst us and upon us, and be aware of His presence. If I say the word presence to you, what does that mean to you? Presence. The word presence. And I think it's something we've learned something about in this lockdown, because we've been isolated. We haven't been able to gather, and we haven't been able to even shake hands or hug our friends or be close to people. And so presence is a gift. It's very, very precious. It's really the gift of presence, and nothing can take the place of presence. No matter how many Zoom meetings we have or WhatsApps we send, it's really so critically important that we know God's presence, and we've learned to appreciate afresh the presence of one another, the presence of our friends, the presence of others that we love and we want to be close to. And so we need to value God's presence. And every Christian is also like Moses, who was also changed in the presence of God. If you turn to chapter 34, as Moses encounters God, it says in chapter 34, verse 29, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. And people were afraid of it. They saw him and his face was shining. from his encounter with God. And then in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says the same thing. It says, we are not like Moses who had to put a veil over his face to stop the glory from being evident. He says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, as Christians under the new covenant, with unveiled faces, behold the glory of the Lord. And we being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so once the presence of God dwelt in a tent, as he met with Moses, as he journeyed with the Israelites, then in a tabernacle, then in a temple, then the presence of God dwelt in the person of Jesus as he dwelt amongst us. And now the presence of God under the new covenant dwells in every believer. We are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Paul says to the Colossian believers, he says, let me tell you a secret that's been kept from generations and centuries past, and the secret is this. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And so how do we experience the presence of God in our lives, even the glory of God? Let me move on quickly. I want to give you 5 points this morning, one warning and 4 encouragements in order to help you to experience the presence of God from this passage. First of all, don't do idols, and God will pour out his presence upon you. If you do idols, God will withdraw his presence from you because he cannot tolerate any idols. And that's why he was angry with Israel, because they turned to idolatry. If you look in Exodus chapter 34, the Lord is describing himself there. And in Exodus 34 verse 14, he says, you shall tear down idolatrous altars and break pillars, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And so the Lord is jealous. He says, my name is jealous. He cannot tolerate rivals. Christianity is exclusive. God demands exclusive worship. We worship him and him alone. And that's why Christianity is different from all other religions. It's exclusive. God demands exclusive worship. And if we want to experience the presence of God, we must flee from idolatry, which the Israelites fell into. And when Moses was up the mountain, when he was up Mount Sinai and he delayed, they turned to idols, as we heard last week and the week before. But the question we need to ask ourselves is also, why did they turn to idols? Not just the fact that they did, but why did they do that? We need to look beneath their behavior. And I want to suggest Moses had abandoned them. They'd felt he departed. He was taking his time coming, and they needed something to depend upon, some form of dependency in their lives. Instead of waiting on for God and waiting for Moses, they filled that need with an idol, and they began to worship that idol. And we do that in our lives. We create idols that we worship and then have to serve. And yet we need to know, beloved, that idols block the love of God in our lives. And so I would encourage you, as I have been doing that in my own life as well, that we look at our lives at this time, and we ask God to root out any idols in our lives as well. When we go through tests and difficulties and challenges, they often reveal what we're really trusting in. And all of us have idols that we trust in, whether they're things we depend upon, or things that bring us comfort or approval or control, helping us to control our lives. We need to allow God to help us to identify and dismantle the idols of our hearts through repentance and rejoicing in God again. If you just repent with no rejoicing, you become depressed, and the idols will return. And if you just rejoice with no deep repentance, you'll find that the idols will remain. And so I would encourage you to use this time this abnormal time we've been going through to ask God to help you to deal with idols in your life. I was on a Zoom meeting the other day with leaders from the rest of the continent of Africa, and we were looking at the subject of idolatry as we've been looking at the gospel and how the gospel expels idols from our lives. And we were confessing to one another the areas in our lives that we've been prone to idolatry, and we prayed for one another that God would strengthen us in this time. And so my first point is this: keep away from idols and ask God to help you to identify them, and you'll know more of His presence. Secondly, do some praying as Moses did, and you will encounter God's presence. And so we find Moses moved his daily devotions outside the camp to his little tent, and he got into the tent and he began to seek the Lord. And as he sought the Lord, the presence of the Lord came down on this tent. And Moses was now praying in the Spirit. He was praying in the power of the Spirit. And as the rest of the nation of Israel saw what was happening, they came to outside their tents and they were watching, and they also started worshiping and they also started praying. And you will find that as you begin to pray, you will experience the presence of God in your life. God's presence will grow upon you and it will impact others. It'll impact others around you. It'll impact your family. And so I want to encourage you at this time. One of the things the Lord has been saying to us is He wants to raise up a prayer movement in these days to usher in a great end time revival. And so I would encourage you in your daily devotions to seek God in your little tent, wherever that be, but also that we would begin to pray such as never before. We did that in 1994 when this nation was on the brink of civil war, and we began to pray, and there were prayer meetings all over this nation as we sought the Lord. And some leaders came from overseas to some of our prayer meetings as we used to pray and sing our prayers, heal our nation, and repented from apartheid, and God began to move, and they said, "We've never seen prayer like this before." They were blown away. I want to suggest we're at that stage again where we need God's intervention in this nation. And so I would encourage you to join us. I'm speaking to Grace Jenners now. Join us on Wednesday nights on Zoom. There's so few of you that have done that. And we need to adjust and we need to join in as we pray and seek the face of the Lord. And so let's do some praying as Moses did. And I'm speaking to myself as well, that we need to lay hold of Him. And then thirdly, we need to seek God's glory as you pray. And He will reward you with His nearness. Moses takes a step further and he says, "Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory." What is the glory of God? What is that really? Well, firstly, we can say that the glory of God is the outward radiation of His character. It's who He is. It's the outward, visible, shining radiation of His character. And we find in Revelation chapter 21, a picture of the heavenly city that we will live in one day. And just the most amazing scripture says in Revelation 21 verse 22, it says this: "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." And so there are tremendous things that await us. The Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ears heard. It's not entered into the mind of us the things God's prepared for us." And one of those things will be that we will live and move in the glory of God. And so the glory of God is God's radiance, but I want to suggest to you also the glory of God is also His goodness made visible. And here in Exodus 33, when the Lord says, "I will cause my glory, you to see my glory," He says, "and my goodness will pass before you." And we see here that the Lord says, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And so we can also say that God's goodness is His glory, and God's glory is His goodness. And so, what is the goodness of God? And He tells us right here, He says, my goodness is that I'm gracious and I'm merciful. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. He's sovereign. And God's goodness is really the way He deals with you, deals with me in grace and mercy. That reveals His goodness. And notice the order here. It's grace and mercy in this chapter. Grace, God's grace, is getting what you don't deserve. It's really a gift of grace. And God's mercy is not getting what you do deserve, which is punishment and hardship. And God says, I'm a God that's full of mercy and grace. And why the order here? Because mercy follows grace. And mercy is the wonderful provision of God to meet the needs of people who have failed to respond to His grace. It's compassion towards those who have offended Him. God shows mercy to those who've rejected His grace. All along, God dealt with the Israelites by grace. They were saved by grace, by the blood of the Lamb. They passed through the Red Sea because of His grace and goodness. He watched over them in the wilderness by grace. He gave them His laws and commands, which was part of His covenant of grace. He provided water in the middle of the wilderness, and yet they rebelled and rejected His grace and His kindness. And so what's left, I ask, what's left when you reject God's grace? What's left? What's left when you reject His grace? Well, here in Exodus 33, they discover for the first time the mercy of God. And that His mercy endures forever. And God's mercy extends to those who have sinned against His grace, those who have fallen, those who are in great need. He shows mercy. And that's why we encourage to in Hebrews, to approach His throne of grace, to receive grace and mercy. God's not just full of grace, but He's rich in mercy towards those who deserve the very opposite. The Israelites had the law, but God didn't deal with them legally. He showed mercy to them because they were in great need. He saw their suffering, and despite their law breaking, His mercy moved Him to action. And so they experienced His grace in general, but they experienced His mercy also specifically in His forgiveness. And friends, that's how good God is. And His goodness is His glory. There's no one else like Him. His goodness is His glory. God says, you want to see my glory? I'll cause my goodness to become visible to you. And in that, you'll see my glory. And then fourthly, we need to also remember the gospel, which gives you access to God's presence. Moses was told to stand on a rock, and God's glory would pass by. And then he was hidden in the rock. God says, I'll take my hand and I'll hide you in the rock, so that you're not destroyed as my glory passes by. And as God passes by Moses and finally lifts his hand, Moses looks and he sees the afterglow of the glory of God. And friends, in the New Testament, Paul tells us that Christ is the rock that accompanied the Israelites in the wilderness. And for us, now the presence and the glory of God is found supremely in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, God says, let light shine out of darkness. The God who said light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so the presence and glory of God is found in Jesus. And God must first place you on this rock. before you can experience His presence. Don't seek experiences of God outside of Christ. Don't listen too much to people talking about heaven on earth outside of the cross. It's really the rock of Jesus that attracts the presence of God in our lives. Always remember that. It says in Acts chapter 2, this Jesus God raised up, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He's poured out on us what you are seeing and hearing. And so we have access to the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. When you believe in Christ, you are hidden in the rock and you are kept safe from the judgments of God. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And so finally, I've got a few minutes left. Finally, how do you practice the presence of God just on a daily basis? How do you abide in Him practically? Well, I just would encourage you, first of all, begin each day by coming into the presence of God as Moses did, in your little tent, as it were, wherever you are. Begin each day just being aware of the presence of God. It's really an act of faith, knowing that God is with you and in you. It's depending on someone unseen. Looking up and away from yourself and looking to God Himself. And then through the day, let me encourage you to keep doing that. It's called quick worship. Just keep reminding yourself that His presence is with us and in us. Secondly, I've said it already, keep yourself from idols and God will manifest Himself to you. Thirdly, believe that He loves you and accepts you in Christ. The blood of Jesus covers your sin and His righteousness gives you access into His presence. You're secure in His grace. Hallelujah. And finally, be open to anything He shows you in His presence and glory in His goodness. As you come into God's presence, as we experience an ever-increasing awareness of His presence, you will find that God changes you. His presence is a place of change. And as you get nearer and nearer to the Lord, you will change. You'll find in revival times, one of the things that happened, people's faces started to change. People's faces started to shine in revival. We find Stephen in the book of Acts, when he was dying and he looked up, his face was shining like an angel. Not just our faces, but your character, your life, your ways will change in the presence of the Lord. So as I close this morning, let me encourage you. Let's seek God for more of His presence. Moses said to the Lord, Lord, will you go with us? And God says, yes, I will. And He says, well, now show me your glory. And God says, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. And you will know my glory. A God who's full of grace and a God who's rich in mercy. That's our God. May you know Him more and more. And if you listen and you don't know Him, I invite you to give your life to Christ, who's died for you, that He may come and indwell you and completely change your life. There's nothing like it. There's no other God like our God. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're so hungry for more of Your presence. And we pray in these days, Lord, of anguish and lockdown and difficulty, that You would help us to forsake idols and to draw near to You, Lord, in daily devotional life and awareness of Your presence, that we would be changed in the presence of the Lord and impact our families, our places of work, and even the city we live in. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.